Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the INFJ Whisperer podcast, where I dissect all things INFJ. You are not alone anymore. There are others like you.
Hello, everyone. As you are all aware, here we are again, Jamila and I. We should just be a duo. I should just change my channel to Jamila and Boom's channel.
Oh my gosh.
I'm really excited again to have her on the show. I mean, she's actually going through a lot of things in her life right now. She just had a little baby grandson come into the world, Dante. So we're really excited. We had like a long conversation about it before we started recording. But I'm really excited for you, Jamila. Congratulations. And thank you again for coming on the channel.
Oh yeah, you're very welcome. Of course.
And today we'll be speaking about our favorite topic, or at least an INFJ's favorite topic, narcissistic people, narcissism, personality disorder, and just narcissism in general. And of course, why we're like, you know, attracted by, or narcissistic people are attracted to us, and, you know, what they are all about. How can we shut them up? You know, how can we stop criticizing? How can we get them to stop criticizing us or not feeling so bad when they do? And lots of other things. So Jamila has a really interesting viewpoint on this. I wanted to share this with you. And so I'm just going to let it go to you. Please go ahead.
Okay. All right. So I think the first thing that I want to do is make the distinction between narcissistic personality disorder and someone who's being egotistical. Right. Because those are actually two different things.
Okay.
So if you are, say, walking down the street and you can, quote unquote, spot a narcissist, then that's not the one with the personality disorder. That's most likely someone who's being egotistical. Because an egotistical person is probably being outwardly, look at me, da, 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 you know, acting in a way that people would find really annoying. And because that is our casual definition of someone being narcissistic.
Right.
That's what we use, kind of our public, our casual, general populace. However, in the clinical world, narcissistic personality disorder is not that. It kind of looks like that, but it doesn't come from the same place.
Mm.
So when you're talking about narcissistic personality disorder, you're basically talking about someone who has no internal sense of self, no internal sense, which means that they rely very heavily on everyone around them to identify, to define their identity. So it's, whereas a person who's being egotistical, they feel great about themselves and they want you to feel great about them as well, right? Everyone's my minion. But a person with narcissistic personality disorder, you don't spot them very easily right away because they are professionals. They are really talented individuals. They are very intelligent individuals. And the way that they can draw you in, which I think speaks to our INFJ question, is because they're probably very meek, very mild-mannered, very pleasant, you know, and they just seem to always have this bad luck, or they seem to kind of really always put themselves down and then you hype them up. Mm-hmm. But that's part of the cycle, is that, you know, you can't get anyone to pay attention to you if you're just an ordinary, mediocre person. Mm-hmm. So usually someone with that personality disorder probably has a super high talent, you know, but they don't see it that way. So let's say, you know, someone has achieved like 4 or 5 degrees, educational degrees, right? That was probably necessary in order for others to admire them, in order for others to seek out their expertise, in order for others to come. So basically, they're doing the things that draw other people in, that don't necessarily, that being egotistical will actually push people away. They don't want to do that. They want to draw you in. So they draw you in as this nice, sweet, wonderful, talented person who probably just doesn't see the worth inside themselves. And so here you are hyping them up at every turn. And every time something goes wrong, you're hyping them up. And every time this, and you're hype, not realizing that they're sucking you dry because they have nothing internally. They have nothing has been developed. Nothing has been developed internally that says I'm worthy or I'm intelligent, even if no one's around me. Does that make sense?
Yes,
so
yes.
It's just this idea of everything that they define themselves by has to come from the external. Has to come from the external because they have no internal reserves. So they suck you up, right? Basically, yeah. They suck you up and they can live on that for a day or two, but then they need more and they need more. And you're not the only one. There's probably a whole network of people around them that they're drawing from because that's what they need every day. So imagine, I don't know if you're familiar with the iron lung. This is an old medical technology that they use to keep a person alive, where literally because of polio, their body was paralyzed and their body literally could not respirate. And so they had to be put inside this iron lung and it had to simulate the breathing for them. You cannot exist outside of that iron lung, right? Because your body will not breathe. So that's kind of like a person with this personality disorder without you, without other people. They don't have an identity at all. So it's really a really sad situation when you think about it.
Yeah.
The thing about any personality disorder is the person with that disorder doesn't know that they have one. Because you're talking about DNA level belief systems, DNA level life perception. You know, if this is how I see life, so there's no changing behavior. There's no, oh, you need to see this from a different perspective. Like how? Like how do you see life differently from the way you see it?
Right.
How do you change it? Mm-hmm. You kind of can't, you know, whose perspective do you take on? And how does that counteract everything that you've been raised up in? Like we're talking about, this is a perspective from the very beginning, from childhood, you know, I don't have my own identity for whatever reason that it forms that way. I don't have, my identity is defined by who likes me, who responds to me, who's happy to see me. And that's how I see the world.
Yes.
So how do you get someone to change that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't, you kind of can't. So that's something to be taken in consideration. So when you talk about, well, they need to do better, or they need to change their behavior, or can't they see that they're hurting me, or can't they see that they're draining me? No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're essentially talking about their self-preservation. And are they going to step outside of their self-preservation to see what they're doing to you? Not really. And not out of any kind of maliciousness. It's just,
yeah,
this is what I need to survive. You know, I need you to respond to me in whatever way I get you to respond for my survival.
Wow.
And yeah, and that's it. So, so then when we talk about, so considering that they are 100% dependent on you responding to them in a way that they need you to respond. Like I said, it comes out as someone who's like somebody who is super talented, someone like who might be a super talented choreographer.
Right.
where you might say, oh, I love it if I have a large class of people who are willing to take my class. For them, they need it. So if the class numbers dip, so does their self-esteem. So does their, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's that dependent, mm-hmm. you know? So if you think about, if they're dependent on other people providing them with self-esteem, like we're dependent on food, how would you feel if someone tried to take that away from you?
Yes. Yes, of course.
That's where the gaslighting comes from. So the gaslighting is not some random act of being mean. Mm-hmm. It's actually a defense mechanism because you're threatening their access to their self-esteem via you.
Yes.
But
yes.
So if you say to them, you know what, I don't like the way that, you know, we're always having to wait for you 20 minutes for you to arrive. And, you know, we're just going to start leaving, you know, now the person with the personality disorder, the reason why they're arriving late is because you have a bigger emotional reaction than if they were to arrive on time,
yes.
you know, I mean, it's just that intricate. It's just that it makes no sense to us who have our internal sense of self,
yes.
but it makes total sense to them. Mm-hmm. So they arrive late because they get a bigger emotional reaction. People seem to be more relieved, or people seem to give them 5 minutes of attention, even if it's, you know, why are you late? But it's an extra focused attention that says, I must really be important because you care that I'm late, mm-hmm. right? And so if you say to that person, you know what, the next time you're late, we're just not going to be there. We're going to leave. Mm-hmm. That is a threat. That is a threat.
Yes.
In which case they will go for, you know, to say whatever to you about whatever, you know, to essentially insult you. But the idea is to get you to abandon that idea of leaving them. Mm-hmm. You know, so the idea is to get, they're going to insult you. It's kind of counterintuitive, but they're basically going to insult you to say, well, you know, oh, so you're going to leave me for being late. But what about, you know, this other time when I stood here for you and did this for you? And what about this? Or how about, yeah, you probably are one who likes to leave on time. You sound just like your mother. You know, like they're going to, what they're really doing is they're trying to defend keeping you engaging in these behaviors the way that they need you to engage in them.
Yes.
And so they're going to insult you into it.
Right.
Like it's them fighting. It's like if someone took food out of your hand, you're going to fight them. You're going to slap their hands or whatever to get your food back.
Yes.
You know, they're doing the same thing. They're doing
that
the same thing.
That makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm always, I'm just going to add something here.
Yeah.
I just find that a lot of the, maybe it's just the kind of narcissistic people that are attracted to me, but a lot of them have a lot of tragedies in their life and misfortunes galore, right? Mm-hmm. Literally like everything mm-hmm. in their life is completely in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, their iPhone broke, and then their laptop broke, and then they lost their wallet, and then their boyfriend left, you know, like, I mean, literally like a string of misfortunes yeah. follows them around as if they're like Madonna.
Cinderella syndrome.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it just makes me feel like, are they creating these situations? Actually, it confuses me. But also it's like, why? It's so fascinating to me, you know?
Yes, actually. even though they may not be conscious of it. So I think I told you about a while ago, I told you about a friend who I labeled his behavior as long range self-sabotage, almost like using chess moves to self-sabotage.
Wow, really?
So, okay. So like he owns a vehicle that he does not take in for regular maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can keep driving your car, you know, and I think on one particular occasion, you know, his tires, they needed to be rotated. They needed to be changed, period.
Yes. Yes.
But he kept driving on them, so wearing them all the way down.
Wow.
To the point where they were bald. Now he would point out to you, yeah, my tires are bald, I don't know what I'm gonna do, which of course is supposed to elicit that emotional
yes.
reaction, man, come on, get it together, day. You know, but at the same time continuing to let it go, and so then ultimately having a blowout.
Oh god, that's so dangerous.
It is dangerous, but the thing is, he knows how to change a tire, so it's not that dangerous, is it?
Oh.
But yeah, see, we know how to take care of ourselves in certain regards, but to tell people I just had a blowout, that elicits a huge response, right?
Yes.
Because when I got the phone call and I happened to be on the road at the time, I drove an extra hour out of my way.
Wow.
To go and be helpful and to be encouraging. And I bought breakfast and I did, you know, did all these extra things and ended up sitting with this person almost all day over a blown tire.
Yeah.
You know, now, of course, anyone who blows a tire, you want to be helpful.
Yes.
But the level of emotional support that he needed over a blown tire, if me looking back at it in retrospect, I'm like, I don't think I mean, drop me off where I need to go, but sit with me for 8 hours. I don't know if I would have needed that. But yeah, so it's what I call long range sabotage. So it, in the moment when that horrible thing happens, it's of course unexpected, but what could you have done to prevent it? Like 10 steps back, 15 steps back, you could have changed your tires. You could have, you know, kept up with the maintenance. You know, there's a million things you could have done that this would not have happened, or at least would not have happened in this fashion.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of another scenario. This one's a bit more horrible, but it will sell the point. So I had a friend who was dating a narcissistic female. Mm-hmm. And the way that she kept people engaged was she had a lot of money. So she kept people engaged in her lives because she would buy them things, or if they spent time with her, they would go to elaborate dinners, or they would go to events and, you know, things that she paid for. And that kept a core set of people in her life.
Mm.
Now, unfortunately, the relationship that they had was one that involved a lot of drugs. Obviously, with her having a lot of money, she could get some super high quality drugs. So whenever he ticked her off or tried to withdraw attention or tried to whatever that was not suited to her, she would disappear for 3 days. So if you disappear for 3 days and you're addicted to a drug, 3 days of withdrawal.
Yes. Oh my
you're
God.
You're horrible. It is, you're dying.
Yeah.
You're dying. And so then she shows up on the third day with the new magical bottle of pills, and then you'll do anything to get back in her good graces. And then of course, now that you've learned your lesson, you will do anything to stay in her good graces, because otherwise she could disappear again. And so it looks vindictive, and well, it is, but it serves a purpose. The idea is to get you to stay where you are so she can continue to build and have that constant source of self-esteem. That's the goal. I need mm-hmm. this constant source of self-esteem. I need this constant source of external validation. You're going to do this for me, or I'm going to punish you into doing it, or into staying in place, you know, or I'm going to find a way. And in this case, she found a way to have an advantage
mm-hmm.
over someone. And that might also be the case with, I don't know, with INFJs, that this person gets kind of an emotional advantage, because once you're in a relationship, you know, there's a tendency to want to keep, you know, try to keep things smooth and keep things non-confrontational. And so if they know that they can have some sort of emotional advantage over you, then they can keep, you know, hitting you in that spot to get you to comply. Because if I make things difficult for you, then you're just gonna do whatever I want you to do, which is exactly what I need you to do.
Yes.
So it's complicated.
It's so complicated. And it's like, it's really sad. So it's a little bit sad, because
sad.
You would think that they could spend all that mental energy on, I don't know, like bettering themselves, and that would be like easier, you know, like building their self-esteem.
But that's the thing. Well, maybe not building their self-esteem, but they do better themselves. They better themselves externally. Education. People who suffer from this disorder are not easily spotted because they're so likable. They're so talented. They're so wonderful. You want to get to know them because they look so interesting. They're not out there bodybuilding and they're just, you know, here, you know, they're just super talented people that you would assume you could have this normal interaction with and hang out with and build this great relationship with. And to a degree you can, until you start to realize that they really need you all the time. And there's not there's no natural ability to separate from you and go do their own thing. Or if you say you're gonna go do your own thing and they get angry with you and you're like, but I'm coming back, you know. So that's what I'm saying. People with the personality disorder are very hard to spot. I mean, you're talking about the diagnosis rate is only 1 or 2 percentage points because they have to. Well, if you think about it, like I said, a person with a personality disorder does not know that they have a personality disorder. This is life. So this is my perspective. I don't know that my perspective is wrong or incongruent with the rest of the world. It's just my perspective. So if I've made it work this entire time, because it's not even about you as an individual. And that's the other thing. You have to understand that their relationship with you is only for the self-esteem. So if you were to totally go away, if you were to just cut ties and get away from them, you're replaced. You're replaced, you know, with whoever comes in next, because we got to keep the self-esteem going, you know? So that's the thing with someone in this predicament. They have no sense of, I'm going to run out of friends, or I should treat people differently, or I should. And even the ones who go to therapy, therapy is still really hard because we're so behavior based. Change your behavior to accommodate the other person. And they can do that. If you tell someone with this disorder that, you know, being on time and being pleasant actually keeps people in your life, that's all they're going to hear. Oh, a new strategy. It doesn't change that core perspective. All it is, oh, you just gave me a better strategy of how to keep these external sources coming to me. Okay, catch more flies with honey. Okay, I'll be nice. I'll give gifts. I'll do, you know, but they won't get it that it's good to be nice to people because it's a good thing to do. They won't. It's just a new strategy. Because again, that therapist has not given them the transplant of internal self-esteem. They still don't have it.
Yes.
They don't have it. And how can you give that to someone?
A couple of things that come to my mind here, Jamila, is that I noticed for myself, when I first started, when I was much more immature and I first started attracting a lot of, or realizing that I'm attracting a lot of narcissistic people, I actually assumed first that I was narcissistic myself. You know, I was like, oh, I must be like them. I must be
narcissistic. Oh, because the like attracts like.
Yeah. Like attracts like. They're like, oh, they must see something in me. They must see exactly the same person in me. And that's why they're like attracted to me. Of course, I had to like get rid of the notion very quickly because I know it's not true. And as you said, narcissistic people don't know that they're narcissistic. So the fact that I'm even asking that question, and a lot of INFJs asking that question too, it definitely instantly shows, hey, you have self-awareness. You're actually thinking about this. You're kind of blaming yourself, which is something a narcissistic person would never do. It's never their fault. Ever. It's never, no matter what they do, it's always the other person's fault. It's the universe's fault, but not their own. And the second thing that I wanted to say before, I would love to hear your perspective on it, is that I think that the reason why INFJs get really angry with narcissistic people is not because of the fact that, you know, they suck us dry emotionally. It's because it's a very one-sided relationship. It's like, there's no give and take. There's only take, and 100 times take. You know, like, it's like, wow.
Well, look at it like this. How much do you give a plate of fried chicken?
Right.
how much do you give back to a plate of fried chicken? No, you're totally consuming it.
Yes, you're right.
Or a plate of vegetables or fruit.
Yes.
Where's the give and take in that relationship? Yes. There is none.
Yes.
Total
yes.
consumption. That's what this
very
is.
Good way of looking at it. Yes.
You are a source, and I don't mean to be so crude, but really, you're a source of food.
Yes.
You are their source of self-esteem. They are looking for you to validate on all levels. You are a source of food. So you're right. There might be some low-level reciprocity, but like on a very, very basic level of, I think they would call 911 if you got hurt. Like, there's some basic level. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying there might be some basic level reciprocity, but if you're looking for that emotional depth and that balanced relationship, you're not going to get that. And again, not because they're being mean or manipulative. It just doesn't occur because I need you to be my, they can't give you what they don't have. They can't give you what they don't have. If they don't have that internal self-worth that lets them stay grounded in the world, what can they assist you with? What can they give to you to lift you up? They still need to be uplifted. You know, they don't have a grounding source. They don't have, you know,
So
what can they possibly give you? They, like I said, on a surface level, they can give you sex. They can give you gifts. They can, you know, engage in some actions that you might like, but they most likely, they like these actions as well. So really it's still kind of self-serving. They don't have anything to give. They don't have anything to give. And so if you see it from that perspective, you almost do feel sorry for someone who just does not have that. But now that does not mean stay in a narcissist. No, it does not mean that at all. It is because you will be sucked dry mercilessly.
Yes.
You know,
but what if your parents are narcissists? And that's something that a lot of INFJs deal with. Like, how do you deal with that then, Jamila? Like, I mean, you can't leave.
Well,
sometimes you
can't. I mean, well, you, even though you can't help who your parents are, you still have to put those boundaries up, as hurtful as that might be, because the dynamic is never going to change. And I think that's the message that needs to be understood, that whatever that dynamic is that you became aware of, it's not going to be any different just because you're aware of it. Does that make sense?
So they're never going to change.
No.
No matter how much you talk to them or have conversations with them.
Oh, certainly not. Certainly not. No, because if therapy, a third party who is trying to intensively work on you, can only make a crack of a dent, then who are you? I mean, not to be funny, but really, who are you as a casual individual who's angry and frustrated? And that's the only reason why you're bringing this to the table, because you're angry and frustrated. You're not using any consistent therapeutic interventions. You know, you're not, you know, so you're not creating this environment where they have to make certain decisions. And certainly if you're in the child position, what power do you have? Yes. You know, as the child, they've been on the earth for decades before you came along. So this personality style is, or this disorder, this personality is ingrained, has been in place long before you were considered, you know? So how does it go away just because you're hurt? And I hate to phrase it that way, but really, that'd be like if you told me that it hurt your feelings for me to be Black.
How could you, Jamila? Do something about it.
Exactly. What am I going to do?
Yes.
The best I can do is maybe put a bag over my head or maybe put on some makeup, but I'm still me.
Yes.
You know, right. Like I can't, it doesn't go away just because you're offended, you know? Right. So, I mean, I'm just using that just to kind of illustrate how pervasive this is. This is a perspective. This knows deeper than a perspective. This is DNA. This is who I am. So it's not something that you can talk somebody out of.
Wow.
You can't talk me out of being Black. you can't, a piece of fried chicken cannot talk a person into having a give and take relationship. You know, it's just not going to happen. Not like that. Because again, but what it would,
at it. I really love you.
What would it require? Yeah. It would require an internal sense of self.
Yeah.
That we don't have. It would require self-awareness that they don't have. So how can I change my behavior if I don't even have a solid identity? My identity is only as good as the people I have around me today. So the reason why they appear to be narcissistic in the casual sense of the word is that they have developed really good strategies of keeping people around them. So their life is really a series of strategies of keeping. So yeah, walking into the room and everybody, oh my gosh, did you know that such and such has 6 PhDs? Yeah, let's go talk to them. And people flocking around them. That looks like, and then of course them eating up all that attention. Yeah, it looks narcissistic in the casual use of the word. It looks that way. But the reality is like, this is the, I practically killed myself to get 6 PhDs because I have to know that there's always going to be so many people around me wanting me around, pulling on my expertise. They want me around because that defines me.
Wow.
I can't be alone. You know, I can't just be left to consider my own self to be intelligent or my own self to be talented. I need other people to tell me that. Wow. That's what validates me.
I really want to add something here. I actually noticed this, like, this is something that I was actually quite confused by, and I'm really happy that you said this, because I noticed this actual drive to just constantly be moving and doing things and adding to their repertoire of experiences and knowledge and things. So at least the people that were in my life, they were constantly just like, just constant motion towards, oh, I need to do something more. I need to see this place so I can tell people that I've seen this place. I need to get the scuba diving certificate so I can tell people that I'm a scuba diver, that I've gone deep water scuba diving. I need to go to this restaurant because there's where everyone's hanging out and I want to hang out with all the cool people, you know. I want to hang out with this girl. Actually would tell me, she's like, I want to hang out with blonde people because they get a lot of attention in Bali. I'm like, I mean, so I noticed a constant like motion, like, and I'm very active myself as well. And I do a lot of things, but it's just because I'm really excited about doing these things. And a lot of times people will not know that I've done them because it's not about talking to people about it. It's about doing them because I love doing them, you know,
but that it's like, is the difference.
And that's really like really a good point that you shared, because it's like really, I would look at them and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired just looking at you, because this constant motion is just, it's draining you and you are drained by it, but you can't stop. And you can't stop.
Yes, because people habituate. Because think about it. If I have 4 PhDs and you've been around me long enough, that's no longer going to be impressive to you. So now I have to go and get either another PhD, or I have to go and have another experience that will continue to impress you, that will continue to bring you towards me. Because otherwise you're going to be like, oh, that's just Jamila. You know, so I gotta ramp it up. I gotta go more and more. I gotta get bigger and bigger. You know, I've gotta do, you know, more elaborate things. And yes, it is tiring, you know, ultimately having to put forth that dedication. And you really wish someone who is so dedicated could do it for better reasons. But it's the idea of, okay, yeah, the idea is to keep you in awe. Your awe-ness is, it's what's fueling me. You know, you have to keep loving me. And this is, and for some people, high achievement is their definition of, this is how people will love me, by high achievement.
Yes.
Some people, Cinderella syndrome. If I constantly stay a victim, this is how people will love me, you know? So,
That's
like I said, it's just so many.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You never really know the message that the person is sending themselves about what the definition of love is, what the definition of their value is, but that's, so they're going to make it work however they make it work.
Yes.
Whatever it means to them, whether it's, like you said, being in all the cool places, every single one of them, you know, and it's not, that's beyond FOMO. That's beyond fear of missing out. That's, I've got to be known for being the cutting edge person. If you read a magazine article, I got to be able to tell you that I was there when they were writing it. Because I need you to be impressed by me. I need you to want to be around me. I need you to admire me, but not just for admiration's sake, but to let me know that I'm worthy.
Yes.
That it's worth it, that I'm alive.
And so that actually brings me to like one of the questions I asked you, and when we were chatting about it, you know, they actually have this, for the ones that I've been around, at least, first of all, I noticed that all of them were burnt out at a certain point in their life, and they had to physically, mentally exhausted, and they had to take time off from work and leave everything because they burnt themselves out. So that's actually really interesting, because now I'm looking back at it and I'm like, yeah, every single one of them actually had to go through burnout and, you know, to realize, okay, I need to slow down. They still didn't slow down. Which is really the interesting thing, of course.
It just took a break.
Yeah, they took a break. Yeah. The funny thing is that and one of the things I really got annoyed with all of them for was like, please just shut up for a second and let someone else speak. Not even me. I don't want to even speak. I want someone else to be in, like, we're in a group. And like the entire time, if I could just record the conversation and play it back to them, it's literally like someone would be like, oh, you know, so I'm thinking about going to Paris. Oh, I've been to Paris, and like blah, blah, blah. And then like the entire conversation is about them. And then, you know, someone else would be like, oh, you know, I've decided to go take this course. And they're like, oh my God, I'm taking this course. It was great. And, you know, like this and that. I'm like, oh my God, can you please like let someone else get the spotlight for a bit? It's not such a big deal, you know, but.
No, it is a big deal. It is. Think about it. Okay, again, I will go back to the fried chicken example. Let's say that I require 3 pieces of fried chicken to feel satisfied, let's just say. But you're asking me to pass my plate around and let everybody get a piece of my chicken. So by the time it comes back to me, I have way less than 3. I'm not satisfied. I got to keep it to me. So basically the idea here is this. You're talking about a narcissist cannot share, someone with the personality disorder. Let me be clear. Someone with the personality disorder cannot share the spotlight because there's a chance that that person will get everyone else's admiration. There's a chance that that person will get their food because you're supposed to admire me. You're supposed to be defining my self-esteem. If you go and you define, or you go and you add to someone else's self-esteem, you're starving me. So I can't have you starve me. I have to bring the attention back to me. It does look obnoxious, but I have to bring the attention back to me for you to realize, you're great. Well, I'm still great.
I'm greater than you.
You know, you went swimming. I went swimming first though, you know? Oh yeah, I've been down. Yeah. I swim actually 3 miles. Have you swam the 3 mile mark? Because that's where the action is. Yeah. So I mean, and I know it comes off as bragging. It comes off as cutting people off and not letting people have. But again, it's about, I've got to keep my food source going here. If someone's better than me, that is not acceptable, because that means people are going to attend to other people, and so it's. And I'm phrasing it like it's competition, and it's not even really, I don't think it's really seen as competition per se. It's seen as you're stealing my food. Mm. You're stealing my food. If I get less than what I require because you're trying to be great, then you're stealing my food. Now that will come out in different ways. You experience a kind of a mild version, which is someone who's constantly interrupting conversation. It can come out in other ways. I think I remember remarking to you that I believe in retrospect that my ex-husband was a narcissist. So one thing that my ex-husband would do is he would break my stuff. Anything that I had coming into the marriage prior to the marriage. Yeah, it was always an accident. So when we met, like I had a computer, he was using my computer for whatever, but I noticed he would always pick it up by the screen. Like he would not pick it up by the base. Right. And exactly. And so my thing was, why are you doing that? You're going to bleed my screen. Like you're going to, you know, that whatever that,
yes,
that stuff that just bleeds. So I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, stop doing that. And so at first it was like, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. But then like other times I'd see him and he'd be literally, it'd be carrying it open, but carrying it up with his hand on the screen. And I'm like, stop doing that.
Oh, and then it was just like painful.
No one's trying to break your computer. No one's trying to, you know, and everything just became this argument. But ultimately, obviously, one day he went to pick it up and it blacked out the screen. So what did that mean? That meant that we had to buy a new computer. And so now it was no longer my computer. It is now our computer. The new computer is now our computer. So I don't have the advantage of owning something that he didn't own. Now we both own it. And that went for almost everything. Almost everything that was mine, including my cat and including my daughter. He had a very hateful relationship with my daughter. He could not stand for me to go and check on her.
Wow.
Because it took attention from him. Mm-hmm. Even if we're sitting in the living room, he's playing video games. I'm watching him play video games. I have nothing to do with it. I get up to go and see what my daughter's doing within 2 or 3 minutes. What are you doing? Hey, da, da, da. But you're playing video games with your friends.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like you don't need me. But it was like the whole idea of like I couldn't get, dude, she's a child. Wow. And she's my child. She's, yes. I've got to take care of her. I've got to check her. I've got to do motherly things. Like I could not understand why it kept being this competition of attention with him. I'm like, because you're a grown man, you don't, you know,
seriously.
Like I couldn't get it. It didn't make any sense. But that was one of those things, is trying to pull and just try to keep all the attention over here to the detriment of everything else, Even when he played video games, he didn't just like, you know, you're playing with your teams, you know, you got people around the world playing with you. He didn't just play. When they go offline, he would play for an additional 8 hours. So he had all the accomplishments, and he had the highest stats, and he had the highest whatever. So when they went to go play as a team again, he might as well be playing by himself. He's obliterating everything. Like it's no fun for the people who are still, say, on level 10 and he's on level 100.
Yes.
You know, because he's invested all that extra time to be the super duper guy, to be the super duper, you know, I've already gone through these levels. I've already done all this, and, you know, trying to look impressive, you know, and people are like, why are you doing that?
Yes.
And then of course, when people are like, what are you like, I don't want to play with you anymore. Then the storyline becomes they're jealous of me. They're jealous of my talent. They're jealous. Look, I remember there was one time, because I play video games too. At one time, I joined on a different TV to play, and I was actually really good at the game and the team really liked me. And at one point they were asking for me to join.
Mm.
Do you know, I got kicked off that team.
Wow.
My husband was like, no, she's not available. So like, even though he was Mr. Number One, but because I took to it really quickly and was really good at it, they were like, oh no, get your wife, because she's great. Oh goodness, the minute they said that, I was officially banned.
Oh gosh.
I was not allowed to play.
Yes.
You know, because the attention. Yeah.
Yes. And I remember this actually refrain, oh, everyone's jealous of me, or like they're jealous of me. Like this one comes up a lot. Because I do notice this in like a lot of the people that I've spoken to. And I'm like, you know, it's sometimes I wanted to laugh at them and say, you know, is the whole world jealous of you? Because like literally it was like, you know, this person jealous of me. And like, oh no, I went here and they were jealous of me. And I'm like,
yes,
you know, I think when you start like repeating these kind of phrases over and over again, you have to kind of turn the eye back onto yourself and say, okay, what role am I playing here? Because it feels
can't
a
do
little
it.
Bit
but
like,
again, that's internal sense of self, that self-awareness that does not exist.
Right.
So when they label these people as being jealous, okay, all you're saying is that you're not a food source. And so and it becomes fodder for the people who are invested. And you're like, hey, you know, I went somewhere and I tried to do this and they were so dismissive of me, or they were so jealous. I don't understand what I did wrong.
Yes.
And then you get your people reassuring you, and you get to know it's, you're super talented. No, keep doing the right thing. No, you know, you get your feedback, you know? So the people who are jealous, they're broccoli.
Sorry, awesome. I apologize. I just got really excited. So I do want to kind of reiterate the fact that there is a difference between being proud of who you are and actually literally mm-hmm. being accomplished and knowing mm-hmm. that you are, you know, talented and all that stuff. And the way I think narcissistic people do it, because they are actually really talented. Like, it is true. They are.
Yes.
They have a lot of talent. Some of my girlfriends who I talk about as being narcissistic, they're brilliant women, like literally brilliant, accomplished women.
That is not a put
like,
on.
They're not.
That
it's not.
Accurate.
They're not lying about it. Like, they are not lying about it, which is why it's kind of annoying, because they're like, yeah, I get it. You're great. But the problem is that they actually can't hang out with people who are as accomplished as them, and they always hang out with people who are like. Like if they're like the king of the jungle, they're hanging out with like the ants or like the toads, you know?
Exactly.
Like, and
the ones who will admire them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they can't be around people who are at the same level or higher than them. So they never actually, I feel like they grow, but they don't grow to their potential, because they really are smart and they could actually mm-hmm. go do a lot of really cool things, but mm-hmm. because they kind of like, you know, the five people you hang out with are the ones who you're going to be. They always hang out with like the chicken feet, or like, I don't know, like roosters, like whereas they could have the potential to hang out with the queen bees, but they don't, you know, they just kind of like, oh no, like I'm going to hang out with these people. And so I really feel like that's again, another thing is like, I always look at it as, you know, I would always say, if I'm jealous of someone, I want to hang out with them because I want to know what they're doing so I can do exactly what they're doing. I can actually like learn from them. You know, like I mm-hmm. always look at it as like a signpost to be, oh cool. So I really like this. I want to be like this, you know?
Yeah.
But it's really fascinating. I'm really glad you brought that up. I find it so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So all of this, at the end of the day, there is no self-awareness. There is no self-growth internally. There's a lot of growth externally. Resumes look beautiful.
Yeah.
But there's no internal growth. And so someone with this personality disorder, as they accomplish in life, they're not doing it for altruistic reasons. They're not doing it because of, to a degree, they're doing it for a passion because it's easy for them. Like whatever it is they pick, it's something that they're interested in, something that they can do really well at. But it's not to be of service to anybody. It's not to even be of service to themselves. Like they don't sit back and feel like they've accomplished. They don't even do it for themselves. It is a tactic to keep people in their lives. So even they don't enjoy their accomplishments.
But will they ever run out of people to like have be admired by? Like would they ever, someone like, I feel like, no, never,
no,
really?
Well, think about it. When have you never run into a person? When at whatever point in your life and all the time that you've been alive, have you been just totally alone? Nobody around you to interact with at all. There's always someone around. I mean, outside of your apartment. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, there's always somebody. As soon as you step outside, there's always somebody. And like you said, and people who are regular everyday people are certainly plenty of those folks compared to people, you know, as they go up into specialties, you know, specialties, there may only be 10 people in that specialty, but there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of ground workers. So you huge food source.
Yes, that's right.
And it's great, you know, to be, you know, a big fish in a tank full of guppies, you know, it's perfect. I mean, it's perfect because you will always be admired by someone, and you can even afford to push away the ones who are jealous. because you've got so many others who will believe what you say because you're super talented, because you're super attractive, because you have all the things that they don't have, that they're going to naturally admire you for them, maybe from an inspiration point of view, but for you, hey, but they admire me, right. You know? So you never want to be in company with someone who has as many credentials as you or more. Mm. You never want that. Mm-hmm. Because that splits attention, you know, right. And it's not that you can't hold a conversation with these people. You certainly could.
Yeah.
But you won't get the attention part. The person who has what you have is not going to admire you for having the same thing. So what's the point of us talking? If you and I have the same shirt on, who's going to admire what?
Yes. I love that. Actually, one thing that came to my mind right now is I noticed that it's like it's always like they're challenging people to make them admire them. Like I actually always noticed this with the people, the narcissistic people in my life. They're always like kind of challenging me. They're always like, "Oh, so what have you done in this area?" And I'm like, "All right, let me give you my credentials." And then, I would be talking about like something like maybe investments. And I'm like, I like to invest in this. And they're like, I wish someone could teach me how to invest, but no one can ever get to my level of like how, like I could, like how I can understand it in my best fashion. You know, like it's just, people are just like, mm-hmm. like they're just like too low, right? And I'm like, you're challenging people in a way before they even start talking about anything. You're challenging them to say, hey, you're not at my level already. So maybe you should just shut up kind of thing. And I just find it so funny.
Yeah, because, hey, look, if you're my food source, you need to stop trying to not be my food source.
Stop talking. Yeah.
Stop talking. No. Yeah. So the thing is, yeah, they'll encourage, you should. I could totally teach you. But you know what? Like, you need to have this in place. You got to do this and you got to do this. You know what? How about this? How about you come to me perpetually for advice? Mm. Food source. or I'm happy to, look over your finances or look over this or look over that for you and give you advice. Food source. Yeah. So again, the narcissist stays in that top position. And so the person on the bottom will constantly admire, oh my gosh, I'm so glad they're in my life because they're constantly letting me know what I need to do. They're constantly, keeping me in the loop, and I would die without them. So it's a weird manipulation. So it's like, that's why people don't know they're in relationship with narcissists, because it's either this admiration component to it, like, but I love this person. Why would I not want to be around them? They're like, they're willing to spend time with me. Mm. I'm on the bottom of the rung and they're the CEO and they're willing to spend time with me. I'm not going to mess that up, Yes. So yeah. There's all kinds of ways to keep a food source going. It's sad, but it's almost ingenious, because that's why I said, if you look at someone and you say, oh, that's a narcissist. No, they're not. They're just egotistical. If the person you can spot on day one, that's just someone with an ego.
Yes,
that is
yes.
not the person with the personality disorder.
And that's what the problem here is, Jamila, because what happens is that in the beginning, all these people that come into our lives as INFJs particularly, because mm-hmm. we do attract a lot of narcissistic people, and that's something that we were talking about as well. The problem is that they seem brilliant and amazing and interesting, like you said, charming people. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, wow, I'm so excited. This is a new friend and I really like hanging out with them. And in the beginning, it's like everything is roses. And then over time, you start seeing as a person, you're like, there's something wrong here. And as an INFJ, mm-hmm. our intuition kind of starts beeping like really loudly in the back. We're like, no, shut up. It's fine. They're good. They're mm-hmm. fine, And we're like, it's still beeping in the back. And it gets louder and louder and louder because they're kind of doing all these things. And you're like, that didn't make any sense. But you're like, okay, shut up. It's fine. I'm sure there's some reason for it. Mm-hmm. And then they do something else. And you're like, actually, that was really weird. And I really didn't like it. And then over time, sometimes actually, now it's very compressed for me. Like over 2-3 weeks, I can figure out, okay, this person not. And I cut them off or I'm like, that's it. But like in the past, it would take me months to get that to that point. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, why did I not see it right away? You know?
So that beeping, that's your battery dying. That's you basically, that's your body saying, we're getting ready to shut down if you don't deal with this.
Yes.
They are draining us. Yes. We're being eaten. We're down to the nubs now.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's the thing. And I think now with INFJs, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, you guys are so giving that you actually don't require from the other person for a very long time.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, cause even I, you know, I find myself in that position a lot because I'm kind of self-aware enough that I don't need a lot from other people. And so if someone were to come into my life like that, I have a large giving resource. I don't need to receive from you for a very long time, but by the time I do need to receive, and then I realize you can't do it, that's where the super disappointment comes in, because it's been years or it's been months. And you're like, wait a minute, I've been here for you this whole time.
Yes.
And now I'm kind of going through something that's a little stressful for me, a little cat, you know, it'd be really great to have my friend, and all of a sudden you're unavailable.
Yeah.
Or you're still talking about your stuff and I'm trying to talk about my stuff.
Yes.
Like, you know, that's when you wake up to, oh, this is unbalanced.
Yes.
This is, you know, exactly. Yeah. And so, but like you said, by then you've invested time and energy into what you thought was a really great relationship or a great friendship. And so then it really starts to get you upset, hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And because you haven't required from them, you probably didn't notice the pattern.
Yes.
And so you're going to take this as individual incident of, you know, you're being really insensitive today. Well, no, they've been insensitive the whole time. You just didn't need anything, you know? So they're not, what they're doing today is what they've been doing the entire time. You're just now aware of it. And so if you say to them, you're being really insensitive, or I can't believe you won't listen to me, then you get the gaslight.
Yes.
Then you get the defensive, what do you mean? You know?
Or the rage.
You know,
I find a lot of them get
super angry,
and you're like, okay, this is disproportionate to what I actually said.
Yeah.
I said your dress looks, or whatever, it might be like, you know, I said your dress is too red, and you're like, oh my God, like the volcanoes of heavens are kind of like, I mean, like it's literally like disproportionate. And my mom does this a lot, and she gets so angry, and I'll just be like, I'll just have said one little thing about this one little thing that doesn't even matter that much. And all of a sudden, the entire day is ruined. She's smashing things, throwing things, angry, like yelling, crying. And I'm like, okay, what happened here? Like, where is this explosion coming from? Literally understandable.
Well, so, you know, for someone who's self-aware, that is really small. Like, oh, okay, I'm wearing too much red. Okay, I'll just take off a scarf, or I'll take off some earrings, or I'll throw in a different splash of color. For someone who's self-aware, that's perfect. That, I mean, that's fine. But for someone who is really relying on their food source to admire them, for you to offer a critique, no. No, that is not the answer. You're not supposed to critique me. You're supposed to admire me. You're supposed to tell me I'm beautiful, because I need to hear that, because otherwise I'm not beautiful. And so now you've basically told me that I'm not beautiful. Mm-hmm. You even though you've critiqued this really small thing, you've told me that I'm not beautiful, and that's a message that I need. And you've just taken it from me, or you've just knocked the food out of my hand, and I was really hungry. So now I'm angry. Now I'm hangry. Mm. Now I'm angry because you did not give me my message, or I was getting ready to walk out the door to get my message, but now you've thrown in this doubt that I already have. That's the only reason why I go out for food all the time, because this internal sense of doubt, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am, and I'm going outside to get what I need, but you just told me that I'm not dressed right.
Right. Ah! Wow.
Why did you do that? You could have let me walk by.
Yes.
Why did you do that? You have now ruined my day. Everything is your fault. Now I'm going to starve because of you, because I don't know, because my mind was set on this outfit. I don't know how to change it. I don't have the flexibility. So I'm starving today because of you. Boom.
Yes.
Thanks. You know?
And as an INFJ, it's such a blow to us because we just want to be in harmonious relationships with our family mm-hmm. and friends and acquaintances and friends mm-hmm. and like anyone around us. And we just want to take care of them. And we want to be nice to them. We want to pet them. You know, we want to be like, they're all like kittens. And we're like, oh my God, I just kicked a kitten. You know, it feels like that much of a blow. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this to this person. I'm a terrible human being. Like, I can't believe I could be such a person. I thought I was nicer than that. And all of these doubts come into us. And we all take the blame upon ourselves because we're so good at that. INFJs are brilliant at this. Anyways, I should really.
and ultimately, what do you become? Renewed food source.
Yes.
Because now that you feel guilty about my ridiculous behavior.
Yes.
Perfect. Because now you're not going to challenge me anymore. Yes. Now you're going to tell me exactly what I need to hear. Now you're going to do whatever you got to do to keep it smooth for me. You're going to walk on eggshells, even though I'm the one that smashed the glass. You're the one that's going to tiptoe.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's crazy.
Perfect manipulation.
And that's why I think INFJs, like you said, are such good food source for narcissistic people, uh-huh. especially unhealthy INFJs who don't know themselves, who don't believe that they need or can be around people who will give to them as much as we give to them, you know, that mm-hmm. we receive, we give, you know, it's a give and take relationship. Like a lot of unhealthy INFJs have this negative self-esteem where they're like, oh, I don't deserve it. I deserve to be with a person who's narcissistic because, you know, I'm not worthy of anything better. Yeah. So until we get to a point where we're mature enough to realize, hey, this is skewed and it's not right and I need to get rid of this freaking relationship and like, you know, take care of myself, until that happens, we're going to be stuck with narcissistic people around us all the time. I mean, I'm 38 and I still have lots of narcissistic people around me and I literally have to be like, what is going on here? Oh my gosh.
Well, I think and I think that's where things get difficult for people who are not suffering the personality disorder, because it's like, but they're so great.
Yeah.
You know, if I can get them to realize that they have enough within them, that they don't have to be like this because they're perfect. They are enough, you know, the you're enough statement, that doesn't apply. That's the thing, is that, you know, as altruistic people, we want, like you said, you want people to feel good. You want them to feel better. Just no, you're perfect. You're great. You don't need me around. You're perfect. You're great.
Yeah.
No, that does not translate.
Yes.
That does not translate. But it's hard to let go because you think that maybe you're making inroads because they'll sit there and they'll listen to you because still you're being manipulated into being a food source. So yeah, I'm going to listen to you tell me how wonderful I am and how if I just need to believe in myself more. Mm-hmm, keep talking. Right. You're still acting like a food source. And then at the end of the day, when I don't take your advice and I don't get it and I end up in the same spot I was in 2 days ago and you got to talk to me again, food source.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This is so brilliant because my sister, my brother and I, we are the food source for my mom, who's definitely mm-hmm. like, I've realized over the time that she's nice. Mm-hmm. I love her. She's great. But she's definitely like needs a, like, she doesn't have any internal sense of self-esteem, as you said. And so literally mm-hmm. she kind of goes through us as if like, we're like a rotating book of like a Rolodex, you know, like whoever mm-hmm. kind of gives her something. So I've kind of like shut her off completely from that source. I don't give her that anything anymore. Yeah. But I used to, obviously. Yeah. So she'd kind of go from me to like my brothers, my sister. And then my brother doesn't give it anymore either. Cause like we've kind of been gray rocking her. It's like the term of narcissism. Like we're kind of not giving it. And my sister is the only one left. And like, I feel really bad for her cause I'm telling her not to do it, but she can't. She's a 9TJ actually, but very mm-hmm. much an empath and very caring, like really like giving. Actually, it's weird. Maybe she's actually an INFJ and I'm an INTJ because literally we kind of like, I'm definitely like much more like much meaner than her. So like now all of it falls upon my sister and it's very difficult because it's really draining. And until my sister's like, no, this is it. I'm cutting her off. Literally is like all of it is coming from my sister because she has no one else to kind of like get it from. And it's really mm-hmm. fascinating for me to actually watch it because I'm obviously telling my sister, you know, don't gray rock. But it's really interesting because it's like there's so many different ways, and then my brother gets sucked back in as well. And then in order to protect mm-hmm. my brother and sister, I'll get sucked in because I'm like, no, don't do this to them, you know. And it's like it's really fascinating because it's very manipulative and very smart. And I'm like, wow, you could use these brains for like NASA could have you, and like you could change the world.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is. And the thing is that once people become important to us, it is hard that is the only answer, that cutting them off is the only answer to getting your energy and your power back, because It is because you really want to believe that people can change.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this we're not just talking about behaviors. We're talking about a DNA level belief that I don't have any internal sense of self. And I have to get it from these food sources. It has to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so until a person is able to reverse that belief, that's what it's always going to be. And you know, and how easily can you reverse your own personality?
So difficult.
You can reverse your behavior. You can reverse your ideas about certain things, but reverse your core personality and then turn it into what, you know, like what are your options? You haven't been created any other way.
Right.
What are your options?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So unfortunately for the people on the other side, cutting them off is really the only way, or putting, like you said, putting an extreme amount of distance so that you're very rarely involved. But like you said, at any point in time, you can still get sucked in, you know? So like with my ex-husband, I had to completely block his number, block all social media, even though we have cats together, but he got them in the settlement. So because for him, he would send pictures of the cats to keep like a little hook. So I had to cut off my cats.
Yes.
In order to cut him off. So wow. It's like, you know.
Wow, but that's so interesting. Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to actually.
I know we, yeah.
Yeah, we've been I love this topic. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm so like, I'm really fascinated. Like everything you've shared has been like literally on point. I'm so grateful for you. And I know everyone's going to really, really love this. Like I hope everyone actually watches this full thing because it's so, for me, it was enlightening. And I watch a lot of videos in our system. So this is so, so great. Maybe we'll do another session if people have more questions or if I have more questions. But I will say goodbye to Jamila right now and goodbye to all of you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being on the channel. And we will see you next time around. Bye. Thanks, Jamila.
You're welcome. See you.
Thanks for listening. If you want to put a face to the voice, you can check out my YouTube channel, Boom Shakar. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.